The church has got to grow up. Okay, now we're starting. Okay, I can feel that anointing coming. For too long, the church has been on milk. It's dangerous when you start teaching and giving the church meat. Because it is hard for young people. Now, you can be young in the Lord and have been saved 30 years. It depends on where you've been and what you've been taught and how you've been fed. But see, we're coming into the last of the last days. You know it. I know it. There's no denying it. If the church is ever going to grow up, this is the generation that's got to grow up. Well, it's not going to happen if we don't start eating meat. So last night, I'm telling you, the Lord had me served a T-bone steak smothered in pork chops. You know, walking out after it, I could see pork chops laying all over the ground out there, you know. It was a lot. It was a lot. I was stunned myself how much He delivered in one service. And we're just going to look at one little aspect of it tonight. But what's got to happen is that the church has been like asleep. The theme verse last night was Ephesians 5:14. Because I had a dream about 2 years ago, and I kept seeing this giant. But the giant was asleep. It was powerful. It was strong. If that giant ever rose up, it was able to do mighty works. But it was just asleep. And in the dream, I kept hearing a voice, and I know it was the Lord saying, the answer is Ephesians 5:14. Well, normally that verse we ascribe to the lost, because it says, "Awake, thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." But I knew He was talking about the body of Christ. Because we've been so taught incorrectly, to be honest with you, we're walking like Old Testament saints. Most of us, one way or another, we're still believing we're just the same old person that we always were. We're only forgiven now. Well, that's Old Testament salvation. That's what Abraham had, and that's what Moses had. They were born with a sin nature, and God could forgive them through the sacrifices and all of those pointing to the Lamb, but their nature could not be changed. And on this side of the cross, though, we have a whole different promise. And we went through a lot last night about how God, He took the Gentiles and the Jews, and He really pronounced all the seed of Adam dead. And through Jesus Christ, He being the firstborn from the dead, He is really populating now heaven with a new species that never existed before. That's why it says in Corinthians, it says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That word creature would be best translated species. It's a species of a human that never existed before. You're literally reborn from the loins of the last Adam, Jesus Christ. You're not of the species of the first Adam anymore. You were that when you were born from your mother's womb. But you were declared dead in Christ. When you received Him into your life, that same Spirit quickened that old dead nature of yours. You went from death to life. You were reborn, spawned from the loins of the last man, Adam. You are a new creature. You are, and collectively, we are that giant. This is the giant that the world needs to see. This is the one that Jesus said would do the same works that I did. The works that I do, you'll do also, and greater than these shall you do. But we're not ever going to do that if we keep feeding on milk. It's time to, you're going to have some meat. So, Lord, where do I launch into this? Okay, go to Romans 4. And again, I'm not even going to begin to try and reteach last night. Now, another verse that we're not going to really focus on much tonight either. You can look this one up later, but it's First Corinthians, I believe, chapter 15. It says, "Awake to righteousness and sin not." Notice it doesn't say become righteous. The letter is written to the giant. It is written to Christians. And what he's saying, the problem is, awake to righteousness. Awake to what has already been done for us. Awake to it, and you'll sin not. Now, Romans 4, we went back to Abraham last night because I've taught faith out of Romans 4 so much, and this chapter has saved my life, following in the steps of the faith of Abraham. I have received a new heart by following these steps. I have received healing for cancer from following through these steps. We've received our children restored back to the Lord. These are the steps of faith. And everyone knows that story, so we're going to, you know, how God spoke to Abraham and Sarah when they were elderly. They were about, it tells you here, about 100 years old. I think one was 99, one was 90. And he says, you're going to have a baby. And it plainly tells you, in the natural, it was impossible. I mean, Sarah, she was already past the time of the way of women, meaning she was not ovulating anymore. There's nothing even to, there's no egg to be fertilized anymore. And it, when God told Sarah, you're going to have a baby, you know, and she laughed. She laughed. She says, am I going to have pleasure from my husband again? Which tells us a little bit about his performance. So we've got one old prune snuggled up against another old prune, and God's going, you're going to have a baby. Now, they're going to, this isn't an immaculate conception. I mean, they're going to do it through the human form of having children. But in the natural, there's no way. I mean, there is absolutely no hope at all. Yet God gives His Word. And then the first thing He does is He comes and He changes what they see. See, and that's part of what I'm doing here this week. I hope to God I'm helping change what you see.
Hallelujah.
One of the services we did was see Jesus. If you want to see the Father, if you want to know what the Father's like, you're going to have to see Jesus. Because if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I pray that you get into Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and the book of Acts and assimilate those until Jesus walks off the page and into your heart.
Glory to God.
I mean, and then once that happens to you, religion, it can't trick you anymore. You'll find out Jesus does not put disease on people. Jesus does not walk by poor and suffering people and not help them. Jesus doesn't bankrupt businesses to teach them a lesson.
Sure.
You'll find out. And what you see Jesus doing, He says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The church needs a vision. You got to see Jesus. But now, more than that, we got to see Christ in us. See, that same Christ. I'm going to have to teach in macro form again tonight. Normally, I'd take you to all these verses, but it's more important that we get the vision now tonight. You know, Jesus said about Himself, He was prophesying His own death. He says, you know, if a seed, if it just abides alone, then it's just one seed. Talking about Himself. But He said, if that seed is willing to be planted in the ground and die, then that single seed, it produces much fruit. God sowed a single seed. His name is Jesus Christ. You can see that the magnificence of what God had in mind. He's called the firstborn of many brethren, but you can see what God has in mind, how God anointed him with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that are oppressed of the devil. And boy, I mean, just that one seed was enough to give the devil fits. I mean, everywhere he went, people got delivered and devils were cast out and they got healed and it didn't, the maimed were made whole for crying out loud. One service we went through that and it says it happened while the people watched. Now we start having services like that, where they start bringing in people with no legs, and CBS and NBC and ABC are here, and Fox News Channel. And they got the cameras, and the whole world watches while the leg grows out. That's the revival that's coming. We are so blessed to even be hearing these things, to have an opportunity to participate in this end-time harvest. I feel like we've got to be God's favorites. We've got to be His pets somehow. Somehow, like Noah, we found grace in the sight of the Lord. We found grace somehow. But that's where we're headed. But we're not going to get there following the same old traditions and following the same old doctrines that aren't so.
Sir.
Well, God said to Abram and Sarah, you're going to have a baby. And at first they laughed. I mean, I thank God that all that's in there. Gives me hope. They were human. You know, did you know Abraham, if you back up a chapter or two, he laughed the first time he heard it. He said, oh God, you're so funny. You're so funny, God. You've teased with Abraham. But the first thing God did was change their vision. That's where I was. He changed their vision. He took them out and he showed them a starry night. And he says, I want you to quit looking at that empty crib. That non-productive church, non-productive Christianity. I want you to quit looking at what you've seen. He gave me his definition of hope. What has been is not what shall be. Well, church as you have known it, even though it's great, what has been is not what shall be. We're headed for revival. We're headed for the days where you're begging for a little cot somewhere in one of the offices where you can nap for a little bit before you lay hands on the next steps. And it'll be okay with you. And if they serve beans and rice and then later rice and beans, it'll be okay too. You know? If you're the one laying hands on little kids with born blind and it's your hands on them, when those little eyeballs begin to swirl and suddenly they can see, you think you'll care about anything else? Bring the next one. Bring the next one. What price is that worth? What price is that, see? Well, big part of the key is right here in this in this chapter on Abraham. Now, I'm going to read this again. This is the very familiar passage, following in the steps, because they had to receive in their body this physical miracle. Let's follow how they had to receive the physical miracle. It's the way it's mentioned here in Romans, which is talking about Abraham. But I'm going to show you a verse in a minute. Sarah had to do the same thing. Okay, now watch this. We're starting Romans 4:16. It said, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. That's the first word that God gave to Abraham. I have made thee. Well, not the first word, but this is the first one concerning this promise. I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Now, we went through this in great detail last night. I'm just going to touch on some of it. Who against hope believed in hope. Now, what does that mean? Can you picture a 99-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman? You're looking in a mirror. This is not a pretty sight. I mean, in the natural, there's no hope. And medically, she's past the time of the way of women. I mean, against hope, you have to throw out all that natural. In the natural, there is no hope. Revival is not going to come anywhere except from God. We're going to get it from Him. So against hope, we have to believe in hope. And where does that hope come from? It comes from that starry night. See, He took Abraham out and He showed him the stars and He says, you quit looking at that barrenness that you and Sarah have had all these years. Your seed will number like this. One time I was meditating on that because I knew where the Holy Spirit was taking it. See, He's conforming us to the image of Christ. One time He said it to me like this. He said, Jesus is your starry night. That's the image He's given us. You say, not me. I know how I am. Well, the truth of the matter is, I am who the great I am says I am. Now, that's the truth.
Glory to God.
He said to me recently, he says, I would appreciate it if you'd quit substituting your truth for my truth. Jesus. Father, thy word is truth.
Yes.
What he says I am,
yes,
that's what I am.
Yes.
All right. Well, come on here now. He says, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Now, when he didn't deny the fact, I mean, we're told that it was past the way of women with her. But he says, I'm not going to stagger at that. See, facts, we don't ignore them. But let me tell you right now, God's truth will change your facts. You hear me? Truth changes facts. God's word will change the situation. So he says, I know about the deadness of Sarah's womb. I know about the deadness of my own condition. I choose not to consider that. It says he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him, now notice, for righteousness. Now, in the next verse, now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Now what he's really talking about, for years I thought this chapter was really teaching on faith. The subject of this chapter is righteousness. The righteousness that we have been given free by God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But it's more than just accounted righteousness. It is an active righteousness. In the same way that you received a gift from Adam, when you were born from your mother's womb, you received a gift from your great, 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 great granddaddy Adam. That gift was a sin nature. Did you notice you didn't have to? You just had it. As much as we love our little lily cakes, you can watch any little child, you know, 2, 3 years old. They want another, you know, they got 2 or 3 kids playing. One of them wants the other toy. What do? They just go take it. And if the other kid says something, they might get bopped on the head with it. I mean, that's just the nature that we're born with. You know, when they get older, that's World War III right there. See? Well, that's the we all had a gift. It's called the gift of the sin nature. We'll jump over to 5:17 for just a moment here. See, when you get born again, you receive a gift from the last Adam. When you were born of your mother's womb, you received a gift from the first man, Adam. That was called the sin nature. But notice this, chapter 5, verse 17. If by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and of the what? The gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Now, when he says, if it wasn't an active, I like to call it a righteousness generator. Let's talk about it this way. From the first man, Adam, you received a sin generator. That was the problem with the whole human race. The guy in Romans 7 who received God's law, and he, with his mind, he agrees with it. I want to keep this. I'm going to keep it, God. But he's got that sin generator. As hard as he tries, that bad thing, I'm not ever going to do that again. Well, he may do okay for a little while, but sooner or later he's going to do it again. You know why? There's a sin generator. That's what God was teaching him through the law. You've got to have a Savior. Nobody can do this. Why? There's something flawed at man's core, and it's that sin nature. So what God does, God says, I'll tell you what we'll do. Through my Son, I will declare the whole species of Adam dead in Christ. Then I'm going to start a new species, one at a time. First, I'm going to raise my Son. He is the firstborn from the dead. He is the firstborn of many brethren. He is the second man. He is the last Adam. And from his spirit will come a new species of human that has a righteousness generator on the inside of you.
Hallelujah.
See, it's more than just accounted righteousness, because it says something about this righteousness. It's not just a legal thing. It causes you to reign over sin.
Hallelujah.
It causes you to reign. This is why we get over in chapter 6. He says, well, shall we continue in sin? Why would you continue in sin now that you don't have to anymore?
Glory.
That's what Romans 6. Okay, so back to 4. Getting ahead of myself. Now, normally when we teach this, just like I did just now, we look at Abraham. I want you to look at a verse that I don't know that I've ever heard taught anywhere else. I'm sure people do. Go to Hebrews 11. Because I think this will impact you stronger if we go this way. See, we always look at Abraham, and we should. We've taught it so many times, I think we get almost numb to it. And we go through it so quickly that we think we know it. Now, I want you to look at verse 11 of Hebrews 11. Through faith also, Sarah, and I love this next word, herself. Abraham didn't do it for. Pastor didn't do it for. Didn't call Pastor Dave to do it for. Sarah herself, through faith, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. And she was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Do you see that? All right, now let's go back to the steps of faith in Romans 4, but let's think about Sarah, because she also by faith. So let's take a woman, 90 years old, I think she was, roughly, past time of way of women. Now let's meditate a little bit. Whose idea was it, quite a few years before this event, that Abraham should go in and sleep with her servant? It was Sarah. You reckon that weighed on her mind? See, already once before she gave up. We tend to do this all the time. We try and help God come up with, well, maybe he meant this. Maybe he meant that. And we'll start adding our human idea to what God said. Boy, I bet they wish they'd never had that one. That's still causing problems in the world today, Isaac and Ishmael. You know. But don't you know that was in her mind? She knew that she's faced this promise of God. And she, in that time, she came up with a human way to try and make it happen. She knows the folly of that now. So this time, here's a woman. God comes, gives her his word. About this time next year, you're going to have a child. She's 90 years old. And she's not ovulating. There's nothing in her. Now what do you do? What does it mean you believe God? Would it help if I joined a gym? You know, maybe it help. Will that cause me to start ovulating again? No. Maybe I need to stop at the GNC, and I'm not against GNC. But maybe at the health food store. That's it. I need to start eating organic. I'm not against that. I'm just trying to show you there is nothing in the natural that a woman can do to cause her female organs to become productive again. This has got to be by the operation of God, or it's just flat not going to happen. So here she is, faced with the same thing that we're faced with. She's received the word of God. Unless God moves, it is absolutely impossible for it to happen. There's nothing she can do in the natural. There's nothing physically she can do. There's no health food. There's no gym. There's no exercise regimen. There's nothing she can do in this case. It's God's promise, or it ain't going to happen. So what do you do? Did you notice he changed her name too? Did y'all ever notice that? Her name before was Sarah. Sarah means princess. Princess paints the picture of the one who's going to produce an heir to the throne.
Glory to God.
Youth, a princess. Don't you know Abraham took Sarah out and showed her the same vision of the stars? She went through the same process. She had to. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. They both had to go against all the natural evidence, everything in the natural that they saw, even their history. They both had to stand and say, what did it say about her? She judged him faithful who had promised. With Abraham, he says, he was fully persuaded that what God promised, he was able to perform. See what he showed them and say about themselves what he said. In Abraham's case, every time he said his name, he's saying, I am the father of a multitude. Every time Sarah says her name, I am the princess. I will produce an heir to the throne. I will produce an heir. That's all you can do. And then believe God. And through that process, it releases the power of the Holy Spirit to begin that transformation process. So, I don't know if it happened. I'm sure it probably didn't happen the first night. They went to bed in faith, you know. You know, but maybe not the second night. And I'm not trying to be, we're just trying to be real here, you know. And everybody has opportunity to give up. You know, what if a month goes by and nothing has changed at all? But over a period of time, their bodies began to change. And they suddenly started feeling that strength again. And it's God literally moving through their physical body. Let's say it another way. It is the manifester, the molecule changer of the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Who was it hovering over the face of the deep? That's the Holy Spirit. He was pulsating with power. That's the Holy Spirit, but he was waiting. They do things in order. God the Father conceives everything. The Word, Jesus, the second member of the Godhead, he speaks everything. But the Holy Spirit, he performs everything. And boy, when he heard those words, light be. And I mean, Ramazana, whatever he does, light was, you know. Well, as Abraham and Sarah are believing God, what else can they do? They see what God said. They say what God said. I'm sure they worship God and said things like we did tonight. We'd love you, God. We're trusting you, God. You said we're going to have a baby. And you know what else? They couldn't keep it quiet. I like to give this example. Maybe at some course in there, after God changed their name, they decided to go visit their Uncle Harry, who lived four sand dunes over. You know, we haven't seen Uncle Harry in a while. Let's go see Uncle Harry. So they load up the camels and they zoom over the sand dunes, you know. And Uncle Harry sees them coming and says, well, that looks like, now he would say Abram and Sarai. That looks like Abram and Sarai. Oh, I haven't seen them in so long. It's good to see you guys, you know. And so Abram's getting down off of the camel and Uncle Harry hugs his neck and says, it's good to see you, Abram. He says, well, it's good to see you too, but I have to tell you something. Well, what is it? My name is no longer Abram. Well, what is it now? My name is Abraham. And as soon as he says that in the Hebrew language, Uncle Harry knows that means I am the father of a multitude. Now, Uncle Harry's known them their whole lives. He's known they've been married forever. They don't have any kids. He's looking at the camels to see if maybe there's some children back there he didn't know about. You know? He goes, you're the father of a multitude? Mm-hmm. Who told you you're the father of a multitude? Here it comes, you're in. God told me. Oh. Oh. And Uncle Harry's being nice, probably thinking, old man's been out in the sun without his turban again, you know. And that's the way people are with you. See, when you start openly declaring what the Word says about you, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I have dominion over sin. I have authority over all devils in Jesus' name. You just got thrown out of most churches I was ever in. You know, you start talking like that. But that's exactly what the Bible says about you. But let's get back to Abraham and Sarah for a moment. There was nothing else they could do. The point I want you to get is there's no programs they could join. There's no gym they can join. There's no diet they can do. There's no vitamins they can take. There's nothing in the natural they can add to this. It's believe God's Word and then let the Holy Spirit do the change. You got that? And he did, though. Now, what it's recently dawned on me, this chapter is not really about faith, although it's using faith to teach us about righteousness. Because your Bible will plainly, we just got through seeing that righteousness is a gift. In Ephesians, here, you see it in your own Bible. Go to Ephesians chapter 4, I believe it is. One thing you got to know about that new creature that you are, the real you on the inside of you, you're not trying to get holy. God created you holy. See, most religion will tell you got to get holy enough to receive the Holy Ghost. If you could get holy without the Holy Ghost, you really wouldn't need the Holy Ghost. The whole idea is God had to create something holy in you where the Holy Spirit could come and dwell. That holy thing in you is called the new nature. He made a holy of holies. When you got born again, he made a place in you. And it's right here in Ephesians 4, looking at verse 22, he says, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man. Now notice, which after God, that means in his likeness, that new man is created. And I like to say from the get-go, the moment you got born again, that new man is created in righteousness and true holiness. Put your hand right here. Turn to somebody and say, there's a new man on the inside of me. He is righteous. He is holy. Okay, new woman. Okay, new creature. There's a new creature on the inside of me. It's created in righteousness and true holiness. What we're trying to do is get that rascal on the outside. Get that one grown. That's the giant. All right, now, what Romans is really teaching now, we went through that where Abraham and Sarah both, they went through that process, and they had to just believe God's word by faith, and trust the Holy Spirit to do a physical miracle in them. What God's calling us to do? What he says about us in his word, he says, I have recreated your spirit. And what I'm calling you to do is go through these same steps of faith and allow my Holy Spirit to bring forward that transformation in you. They had to believe me for a physical miracle. I say it this way. They had to believe me for a physical transformation. I'm calling my body to believe me for a spiritual transformation. And it's You go, well, this is, what do you mean I'm righteous? I know that guy that, I mean, all of us, every time somebody cuts us off on the highway, we all bless them in the name of the Lord, don't we? God bless them, hallelujah, in Jesus' name, you know. See, the trouble is we know how we are. And we keep, Abraham and Sarah could have used that excuse too. We know how we are. It's past the way of women. And God goes, am I not God? Is anything too hard for the Lord? He says, can you believe that I am who I say I am and that I can do what I say I can do? He says, I say I have put a new creature on the inside of you, that I have regenerated your spirit from death to life. You are the very righteousness of God in Christ. And we're going, no, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. No, you were an old sinner. You got saved by grace. Now you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. You are the very righteousness of God. But if we keep going around saying, just seeing our faults all the time and seeing how bad we do, just looking at the natural, there is no hope in that. And there is no change in that. You know who you're going to have to look at? Hebrews chapter 12 will tell you. Looking unto who? Jesus is our starry night. He is the image. See, I understood finally. It took a long time. Most of the Ten Commandments make perfect sense, you know. Don't steal, don't covet, don't this, and don't commit adultery. But that one about don't make any graven images, I didn't really get that for a long time. And what's the big deal, you know? Don't make any graven images. And finally, I don't know how long it was, I got it. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the express image of God. The reason he didn't want man trying to create an image of what God is like, we'd be imperfect. Men have done it all down through the ages, you know, and you tend to become like what you worship. You know, the Romans, they worshiped these war gods, you know, and they were very warlike people. God says, don't you try and make any image. He says, I will provide the image. I will provide the image myself. And Jesus Christ. That's why in Hebrews it says, looking unto Jesus, He is the author, He is the finisher of our faith. And I like to say it now this way, we can learn from Abraham and Sarah and David. Hebrews 11 used to be my favorite chapter in the Bible because it had all my heroes of faith. But what it really says is at the end of that, by the time you go through David and Samson and Barak and all of that, it says, but these all died in faith, having not received the promise. God having something better in mind for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. And then it goes right into Hebrews 12 and it says, we can learn from them, but they're not our pattern. There's only one image we're to look at to be transformed to, and that is Jesus Christ, the firstborn of our species. He is the one, he's what we're being. Who are we supposed to be? Look at Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about Walmart, Target. What I'm saying is everywhere he went, doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. That is exactly what he's growing us up to be. But we're going to have to be just like Abraham and Sarah. We're going to have to see what he said. We're going to have to really see Jesus. You're going to have to see him now. That's the image that he's going to conform you to. And we're going to have to be just like Abraham here. Stagger not. Quit looking at all your failures. Quit looking at all the failures around you. Quit looking at... There's no power to change you in that. But there is power in the image of Christ. And the Holy Spirit... You say, well, how is it possible? Well, how is it possible for him to change their physical body? Now, he's already done it. See, that new creature is on the inside of us according to the Word of God, created in righteousness and true holiness, but as I understand it, it's come in like a seed. The potential is there. You know, every seed has an image on the inside. You know, in Oklahoma we grow a lot of corn. Well, you can take a little corn seed, it's kind of pale yellow, about a quarter inch square, you know, and you look at that little seed and you say, well, isn't that something? But see, in that little bitty seed, is the image not only of a corn, but a whole plant. You plant that thing in the ground. Now, you planted something that was kind of pale yellow, and you take care of it and water it, and after a little while, something green starts coming up. And you go, I didn't plant nothing green. You know? But what's going on? See, there's an image on the inside of that corn seed that if it's nourished, first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. And there's a program that brings forth not just one image of corn, it brings a multitude. And that's what Jesus was saying about His own life. He says, if I just stay here like I am, there'll just be one. There'll just be one with the life of God and able to do this. But if I become that seed, if I'm willing to be buried and then resurrected, what God's plan is not to have just one. He wants to multiply this to have many sons made in that same image, all doing the same things, all transformed by the Holy Ghost, all living above sin, all living as devil masters. Put your foot on the deck of the neck of the devil, not the deck of the devil, but the neck of the devil. Same way Jesus did everywhere He went. That's what's supposed to have been happening for 2,000 years. And religion has just piled garbage on the truth. Piled garbage on the truth. We at the prayer center, and those of us that's been schooled under Pastor Dave, we kind of see ourselves like you know, we're archaeologists. I kept starting to say architects, and I knew that wasn't right. But archaeologists, you know, we're digging down through 2,000 years of rubble, you know, and we come in, oh my God, I found a fountain. Tongues is for today. Who knew? Who knew? We found it. We found one of those stones. Let's keep digging. Fasting. No, cover that back up. No. Okay, no, okay. Fasting. Worship. The Word. Meditate. We're finding the paths. That's always been there. But it's been buried under about 2,000 years of rubble. I'm telling you, the body of Christ is about to rise up. I'm not the only one out here serving steak. I'm telling you, you better get ready to digest some meat. Digest some meat. God prophesied to us one time that in these last days, these spiritual babies, the ones that we were, they're going to be born with teeth, able to digest meat from a very early age. And I'm telling you what, it's time for the body of Christ to grow up. Believe what God says. Just like Abraham and Sarah, what? Say it with me. I am who the great I am says I am. I can do what He says I can do. I have what He says I have. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Now, does just coming to this one service and hearing this, does that do it? No, Abraham and Sarah, they had to live this. They had to walk it out every day. At any time, they could have given up. What if after 2 weeks, Abraham said, what if he'd have started looking at the natural, caught a glimpse of himself in the mirror? Like I said, there was a day in my youth when I took my shirt off to make the women swoon. Now I don't take it off so they don't faint from disgust. You know? Maybe he walked by the mirror and he went, I thought I heard God, but I must not have heard God. I'm going back to my old name, Abram. I'm just Abram. I know who I am. Would they ever have had their miracle? No, they would not. But we are never going to have our miracle until we believe what God says. Those steps of faith, that's really... Now, go back to Romans 4. I'll finish here. This is my first closing. It doesn't mean a whole lot. But there's hope for you. There's hope. I'm thinking about closing anyway. You know. So now, see, this chapter, really everything in Romans leading up to here is teaching about the righteousness which is of God by faith. And this letter is written to the Romans, but mainly to those with a Jewish mindset, because they had a hard time understanding how God could bring in these swine-eating Gentiles and make them equal with Him. And what He's teaching about, this new kind of righteousness, not the kind that the Jews knew about, where you try and keep the law. No, this is a new kind of righteousness. It's a gift from God, and it's a change of nature. It's a change of covenant. What He's really talking about here is righteousness. So let's go right at the end of this, verse 21. It says, and being fully persuaded that what He had promised, He was able also to perform. Because, now we know Sarah was in on that too, because Abraham and Sarah chose to believe what God said in the face of every contradictory circumstance, therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord
from the dead. Now, why is it phrased that way? Jesus was quickened from death to life. It plainly tells you he is the firstborn from the dead. If you believe that, and we saw it in Ephesians yesterday, last night, we were quickened together with him. We were raised up together with him. We were seated together with him. In the same way that Abraham believed that God would quicken their physical body, what we're called to do is believe that he has quickened our spiritual body. You got that? You got that? And we're going to have to stand and receive it. Programs is not going to get it done. More church programs, church attendance. I'm for anything that anybody does, but that's not what's required. Raw faith, believing what God said, saying what God said, seeing what God said, until the Holy Ghost makes a change on the inside of us and brings that seed to maturity where even the world can see it. And it's not an overnight thing. You don't do it just one night. It's first the blade. Jesus taught about faith. He says, it's like a farmer. He plants a seed and he rises and day and day. You know, he doesn't know how it's happening, but it's first the blade. You know, they asked Smith Wigglesworth. They'd ask him every now and then. He was called the apostle of faith in his generation. And they'd always ask him, what is the secret to great faith? He always gave the same answer. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. Meaning, this isn't going to happen on a one Thursday night service. This is going to take daily watering. This is going to take tending, like somebody tending a crop. But if you do that, then the promise is you will eventually have the full corn in the seed. You'll have that full harvest. That new man, just like it says there, in he'll come to the from the inside to the outside. And really, Paul's headed towards that in Romans 12. See, our mind has to be renewed. He says, how do you not be like the world anymore? Romans 12, 2. Be ye not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your... You notice it doesn't say spirit there? God's already renewed your spirit. What has to happen is we have to renew our mind. That's the part. And that's what brings that inside to the outside. Now, how many of you is going to get this promise out? Start saying what God says about you. You are the right. I don't care how ugly. I don't care. If God told Peter to forgive 70 times 7, you reckon he's got that much forgiveness for you before lunch? I don't care if you have to go to the blood 70 times 7, 1 John 1, 9, before noon. At the end of that, I'm going to say, I'm still the righteousness of God in Christ. I have a righteousness generator on the inside of me, and I don't have to sin anymore. That's what Jesus was really teaching. He says, whom the Son makes free is free indeed. Hello, free people. Hallelujah. Did you get anything out of that? Give the Lord glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.